Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. But can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
God is love. Yeah.
Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And on this Tuesday, we are always delighted to welcome in His Sign Network. And, of course, What the World Needs Now is more Edel Finnegan's around.
Oh, sweet.
Welcome, Edel.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And as you know, we're blessed to have her on this Tuesday as our ministry would come forth and expand. We would love to have one program every single time, every single week, dedicated to the pro-life mission. And we're all involved in that. We're all missionaries in that movement. Don't ever forget it. You and I, by our baptismal vows, are called to go forth and make that difference in the world, to go forth and become Jesus' hands and feet in the world, as well as His voice. And so if you'd like to be able to help somehow, we will be able to give you some information how to do just that. I'd like to introduce Edel properly. Edel Finnegan, good Irish name I might add, is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And as I say, one way you can contact and take a look at their web is www.prolifeunion.org, and we'll give that out throughout the program, of course. And what we want to do today is talk a little bit about what's really happening and what's going on. Of course, we saw with our own eyes and heard with our own ears that the Stupak folded.
Yes.
And, of course, we know that they took back the award that they were going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is happening along that lines? Because this is not a done deal. I mean, we're still trying to repeal this.
That is, I think, what what we all would hope for,
yeah,
is that we could maybe go back in time and undo the damage that's
been
done.
I don't know that can be done.
But the bill has not been implemented. Well, it's been signed into law. It hasn't. A lot of the tenants of it, most of the tenants, it's phased in, right, over the next years up till 2014. So the November election this year will be one of the most important elections. I heard someone say this on the news last night, right, of our lifetimes.
I agree.
Because we will be able to undo, or we will be able to contain, I guess, yeah, the damage. There's different ways. I've heard different people say things, political people, you know, maybe change some of the, obviously the most important thing would be changing the pro-abortion language and making sure that there is no funding for abortion. And then the second part of that would just be to go through the bill and see the parts of it, which, you know, really there hasn't been a totally thorough analysis from a pro-life, pro-family group. I think everyone's still combing through the bill, finding these really horrible problems and, you know, and knowing how each of these things can be interpreted to attack the family or attack life. And I think what we would ideally would do if a more conservative government came into power, they could temper some of the damage, even with President Obama still in office.
Right.
And then secondly, there would be ways of maybe not funding specific parts of the program, maybe really enforcing the pro-life legislation that's already on the books. And a lot of people are saying repeal, how that's really going to play out in our political processes, I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
Entitlement
right.
programs are rarely repealed.
Right.
But, you know, obviously, if the conservatives took over in November, you know, and then in January they took
partisan
power, we would have some power to sort of stop some of the damage, mitigate the damage,
right.
and then maybe implement things that really needed to be implemented, finding, you know, real cures for our healthcare system that respects the dignity of every human person, respects the dignity of each life, and then also just respects, in a particular way for women, the integrity of the human person, of our fertility, which is really not respected in the healthcare industry, and that has led to so many problems. The idea that I was at a school yesterday giving a talk about healthcare, and one of the girls said to me, is the pill and birth control, are they considered healthcare? Are they covered by most insurance companies? And they are.
Isn't that sad?
And when you really think about that, the damage that that probably does, and I mean, it's hard to qualify these things. It's hard to go through specific studies. You'd have to really look at them. If you see that as a problem, do you know what I mean? Like, people look at trans fat as a problem, and so they go and study the effect on it. So we need to look at the pill as a problem and just try to figure out what the effect is. And so I explained that to one of the students, and she was just interested in that. And these were high school girls who will be really affected by this legislation. So, I mean, that's one aspect of it. And then I think it's just our day-to-day existence, our day-to-day living of changing the hearts and minds of our fellow Americans and our fellow churchgoers and family members, just in explaining to them the humanity of the unborn child, the damage that abortion does to women, and then on another level, just the integrity of the human person, that dignity that each of us has because we're made in the image and likeness of God.
Right. And because there is those three different levels, those three different aspects, all of us, every single one of us should really delve into that and learn how to articulate that to others, whether you're speaking as you were today to a group of young women, or whether it's to speak to people in your family, in your workplace. And I think that's one of the things, time and time again, we miss the mark on. We really don't know how to articulate that.
And really there is not much of an excuse for most of us have access to the internet. We certainly have access to the internet at our local libraries if we wanted to go and read something. You can always call the Pro-Life Union if you wanted to read a couple things, and we could send you out a packet of information. We'd be happy to do that. Just, you know, some talking points on healthcare.
Right.
I will say this, that there's a greater debate about healthcare, and I explained this yesterday, and that's just, you know, our bishops took a stand that they were okay with the sort of more centralized government control of our healthcare. I would argue that that isn't necessarily the most Catholic way to take care of our health care. I think smaller is always better.
Me
we
too.
Want to represent, we want to live out the principle of subsidiarity, which has always been part of Catholic social teaching. But the bishops were very good in explaining the specific problems with the Stupak deal that so many people have been confused by.
Right.
And there is a two-page letter from Cardinal George.
I read that on the air.
Articulating it. And he did a really good job, I think, just of explaining those specific problems.
Right.
And as I said, like I would take a different position on the whole bill, on the bill as a whole, but on that specific issue, you know, give credit to where it really is due. It was very clear, and it's funny. I was going through so many different things to give out to these high school girls, and I was like, what could I really give? I mean, I can explain things, but what could I give that they could take home, maybe read, show it to their parents? And that was the one art, the one thing I gave them, and I said, just really look through this and you'll understand what the problem was with that amendment, with the executive order that was supposed to make sure there was no abortion funding when there is going to be abortion funding.
Exactly.
So.
And that's what I think was the confusion. I think everybody bought into that. They didn't realize that an executive order is null and void when it comes to a law that's already...
Sure. And, you know, for Catholics, it's just, it's a really, it's a challenging time in our church. We're facing a lot of attacks from without the church, from our own mistakes, and then from inside the church. And I think that it's important for those of us who care and are educated to share that with other people. So when your family member says to you, well, wasn't that a pro-life amendment? Or wasn't that a pro-life executive order? Wasn't that great that President Obama did that? You need to be able to explain to them why that wasn't really good. And then just on a secondary level, just say, are you really comfortable with the federal government running your healthcare? Because that is essentially what's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, when you pose it to people like that, obviously Americans have just become, you know, 58-60% of Americans are still against this bill.
Right.
They're still uncomfortable with it, which is such a blessing.
Right. It is a blessing indeed, because that is what stirred up this grassroots for people realizing. And as you know, I've been hitting this day in and day out on the radio in regards to that they have, the people have the power. They think they don't. They think they've lost the power. But you can see, you can see with your own eyes now, and you can hear it on whether it's, you know, the news or pick it up in the paper. There is a line drawn, an absolute line drawn for those who they don't want our country changed in the way that it's being changed. I mean, President Obama certainly is a man of his word in regards to that. He said he was a man for change, and he is. But, you know, a few years down the road, things like this happening, we won't even recognize the United States of America.
Well, and I would say that people... I barely recognize.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Right
I'm
now,
saying just
exactly.
in the last few years.
And it is a frightening... It's frightening if you didn't have the Lord in your life. So it's a wonderful time to get out there and share the truth that can set people free. Just like that, why was that executive order null and void? Senator Stupak had to know that. He's
retiring now, so I think he couldn't quite get the
pressure. He got the message.
But you know what, on a different point with Representative Stupak, what was interesting about him is that he was never really with us on funding for Planned Parenthood. He supported funding for Planned Parenthood. He sort of bought into the prevention myth.
Right.
And that really says a lot for those. That's another issue for those of us. You know, you need to understand why that doesn't work.
Right.
And promoting contraception and sex outside of marriage through community health clinics, through our schools, and through our media has caused enormous damage to the family and to women, and we don't want to continue funding that. Now, it's one thing for that to be happening in our lives.
Right.
It's an entirely different thing for a congressman, a representative, to take some of my tax dollars. And that's all a matter of justice and fairness.
Right.
And a lot of people who maybe don't comprehend, I think that's a lot of what's happening with the Tea Party movement and things like that. It's maybe people don't really comprehend. Maybe they're not as passionate as we are. They don't really understand the abortion issue. They don't take it in a personal way.
Right.
But when you show them that part of the money,
their hard-earned dollars,
are going to pay for someone else's abortion or someone else's birth control for that matter, or their 15-year-old neighbor's birth control, they become really uncomfortable with that. And they have an obligation. It becomes then for them, they become interested in it. And then there's just like a more of a moment where you can share your faith with them.
Right. Exactly.
And I mean, in that there's opportunity. You know, I've heard so many conservative talk show hosts, and you can see there's a lot of fear in some ways, you know, just knowing what we're up against.
Right.
But I think that for those of us who were honest about President Obama and what he was before he came into office, we can feel good about the fact that our job isn't to really worry about the success. Right. It really is our job to just spread the truth and live lives, authentic lives of integrity, where we are saying, this is what we believe, this is why we believe it, and this is why we truly disagree with this person that is promoting a government system that is really anti-Catholic.
Right.
You know, socialism is essentially, it's godless.
It's anti-Christian,
right,
really.
So you can't, you can't live, those of us who are Christians or have any religious affiliation will not really be able to live freely, as freely, we're already, some of our freedom has been taken away because through our tax system and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of passion involved, and I would say this, like yesterday I was so inspired by these young girls because it was, they were the ones, these high school girls wanted to know, can you explain more to us about the healthcare system?
Right.
And what happened with the bill and how it's going to affect us. And they wanted to see that. And to see that for 15, 16, and 17-year-olds is really a credit to them, to
it
their school, and to the discussions that everyone's having, and certainly to their families. Because I
they're
think
hearing
that's
it
where
at
a
home.
Lot of them
absolutely
understood it. So.
And this is another point I wanted to bring up. And this is, I think, that we can all take a look at this and see how it just, it's like a pebble thrown into the water, and it's affecting everybody. Just like you said, these young women, you know, they're hearing conversation around their table, through the parish, through their church, wherever they are, and they're stopping, and they're thinking, they want answers for themselves, and they want to know why. Can you explain it to them, as you say? They're eager to know so that they can understand. And I think with this this grassroots of the Tea Party, as I said, I've been hitting this so hard since day one. I think finally, the people are starting to wake up. The people being you and I and everyone else out there who is in disagreement with where we see many people. Believe me, Edel, I've talked to so many people who even voted for Obama. And I couldn't understand when they did, but they said they wanted a change. And I think it made it loud and clear. And I think that was a good thing. Not that it was voted in the office, but that it was a good thing that we're seeing more and more of a difference. And if this is where they want their country to go, they wanted this change. Well, they got change.
Right.
But they say now, if they would have ever known that that meant big government taking over their health care. I mean, it owns, I mean, the automobile industry, the banking industry, the health care industry. Look at all the huge industries that the government is running now. And they're beginning to see that. And they said, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that this was a cause and effect of bringing this administration, bringing this president into office. So I think the people are beginning to realize they have to become well-informed.
Yeah, you really do, and you have to understand, because I think President Obama was, who he was and what he believed was out there.
I agree.
If you wanted to find it. I think what was interesting is that he did a very good job of acting as if those policies were not bad, and he's still doing that. You know, he really, truly, it's almost like he believes it so much, I think he's able to convince a section of the society that it's better for him and the United States government to be making healthcare decisions for a family in Iowa.
Right.
Now, I don't know why someone would be receptive to that, but I understand that he's a very good salesperson. Yeah. The only way that you can truly sort of argue that is with truth and honesty.
Exactly.
And to just find out with people. And that's why I say, like, about the Stupak situation, read what Cardinal George said. Explain to people why that was a problem and what's really going to happen with it so that they understand. And then people become a little bit more uncomfortable. And the other side of it, I think, is our representatives, you know, because we had talked about this right before the show, that there's going to be a battle over a Supreme Court justice.
Right. Oh, yes. I wanted to get in that, too.
And eventually, and we think that we shouldn't, conservatives sometimes think, well, we don't want to seem contentious. We don't want to fight.
It is a fight, though.
And you really, in those arguments, in those disagreements, in those debates, that's where truth comes out.
That's right.
And you need to know that. You can't let the other side sort of walk all over you and you just constantly acquiesce to what their position is. You know, we've come more to the center when we should really be going more to the conservative viewpoint in our faith, in our families, and in our, you know, just in our lives. We want less sort of from the outside and more from God, I guess, in some ways. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, I think this Tea Party movement has certainly made their voice heard. And yes, has there been a couple goofs here and there in that, but there are everywhere people that are extremist or whatever. That's going to be in any mainstream,
sure.
You know, that's always going to be. But on a whole, these people, they're very articulate. If you talk, talk to them or interview them, they are well aware of what the government is trying to do as far as taking over, taking more and more leeway into their own private lives.
Correct.
And they wanted to know about this health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been passed so easy. But no, people realized there was something amiss, and they began to come together. And I think as more and more people gathered together, and even in light of Washington and all the tea parties all around, you have to be able to think, Washington had to know that they were going to push that through, and it was against the will of the people. And that speaks volumes about a president that can look out and to see that, the majority, a large majority of the people were against it as it stood. They want health care reform, but they didn't want it this way. And they went right ahead and just pushed it down people's throats. And that's why I think that's another reason, Adele, and I want your thoughts on this. As I said, I had just written that down myself, that this is one of the most important times we'll ever have in our generation, probably, to really make our vote count.
Right.
Really make it count. And it's because of that health care bill you alluded a little earlier. It's very, if you don't know about that repeal, because we don't know what will happen down the road. But I can tell you this, that the more time that passes and we don't make that decision at the polls,
mm-hmm.
where we can have some partisan influence on that bill, it'll be impossible to change. It'll be in, it'll be dug in, and that is it. And after a while, people forget about it.
Well, and I think that about the upcoming election, I was talking to someone today about our website, and I said, I think one of the things people forgot in the last election is your vote does matter.
Yes.
And a lot of people who are not comfortable with abortion, I'll just use not comfortable, voted for President Obama.
Yes.
And they believed that it wouldn't affect the abortion policy in this country.
Right.
And they thought, it's just going to stay the same. It's bad. I don't really like it. But you guys are doing your pregnancy outreach work. And, it's going to stay the same. And to show people now, it didn't stay the same. That election mattered. Your vote mattered.
Right.
And now when, we're affected by that, and that's on their conscience.
That's right.
And I think so that's why in 2010, it really, really does matter. And I mean, it just, in our own area, if there's a chance of us being able to get Arlen Specter out of the Senate, please.
Absolutely.
We really need to do that.
Absolutely. My brothers and sisters, if you've never, if you've put that, you've given up and you've thrown your hands up and you said, like Adele said, many people said, what difference am I going to make? If it was by one vote and he was gone, that was the one vote that probably counted.
And that's everybody's vote. I mean, really, essentially,
one
that's
vote.
What it is. And I think that, that's a really important thing for us to remember. In Pennsylvania, it matters. There are only 100 senators.
That's right.
And one of our guys is up. We really need to, this is a big deal for the Pennsylvania Senate.
Right.
So I just hope that people, take that responsibility seriously, be prayerful about it, and find out the information that they need. And know this, that when you're comparing parties, and I don't want to take a party thing because I have my issues with.
Right. So do I.
The conservative ideas, there's a reason for that.
Exactly.
But the Democratic Party, if you read their the party platform, it supports a woman's right to choose.
Right.
So when you vote for a Democrat,
you
recognize that. And I think that was part of the problem with Bart Stupak.
Yeah.
Is that his party really wasn't behind him.
Yeah.
It was really, the issue is so low on the totem pole for the Democratic Party. So
it wasn't an issue with them.
So it's easy to give in to the pressure from the rest of your party members where, a sort of a pro-abortion, I would call it Republican, is really going to be hopefully pushed more to the pro-life position.
Right.
You know, if the situation was reversed, I guess exactly. That's how I would say it.
So. Yeah, they'd want him to come over or her to come over their
side.
Yeah,
and that's the difference in, like, why platforms matter. And, I mean, a lot of the stuff is really, you know, techie for, you know, people who are into politicos. That's really who it's for.
Exactly.
But it's not. It's for you and your community, and that's what this government is, that's what our country is based on. And as a Catholic, you have an obligation to be involved.
Absolutely. And to become informed. Mm-hmm. And as a citizen of the United States, if nothing else, as a citizen of the United States of America, our sons and our daughters laid down their life and shed their blood that we have the freedom to vote, to give us that voice that this present administration, I mean, just about silenced and went ahead and with their own agenda. And I think I always tell the people, we do have the power. We put them in office. We can take them out of office. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everybody who's listening to really, from this point on, start now. If you haven't started, you know, previously, to become well-informed.
And register to vote,
Always register to vote.
So that is one of the, that is what happened in the last election, is that a lot of people were just tired of everything.
Yeah, they throw their hands up.
They weren't really on board with President Obama. They probably weren't really on board with John McCain. And so they just were like, I'm going to sit this one out.
Exactly.
But the people who, the Democratic Party, President Obama, had the momentum. And so they got a lot of people to register to vote.
Right.
And that's what we need to be doing. That's one of the things that if you feel frustrated by what happened with this health care and you're not registered to vote, get out and register to vote. I mean, that's just really something simple for you to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then vote conservative.
One of the things also we were just, you know, we alluded to us a few moments ago, and that was with the, you know, President Obama is going to appoint a new Supreme Court judge.
Yeah.
And again, from before he became president, he was right out in the open with things that he was saying. As a matter of fact, I read his voting record over the air every single week. I read it right over the air. And he was the most pro-death. I mean, he voted pro-death every single time, even to... you know, when it came time, if what about, you know, if a child was born, what do you do then? I mean, he was always, there was nothing in his voting record that chose life for a woman ever. And yet he was voted into office. And you said, in a large part, a lot of people that were just fed up Catholics thinking it won't make any difference. It has made a great difference because now he's putting in, he already put one Supreme Court judge in that was, you know, a same mindset as himself. Now he's going to put another one in. And we have to really be praying as a nation, because we might not realize it, but when these judges come in, they're in for years and years and years
lifetime
to come.
Appointments.
Lifetime appointment.
Really, with the judicial branch of government, the Supreme Court and the judicial branch is not supposed to legislate. You're not supposed to legislate.
Not supposed to.
And that, but when they can't win, sort of in the court of public opinions, they try, liberals, progressives, really push their agenda in the courts.
Right.
So marriage is one example.
Exactly.
When it's on the ballot, it goes to protect marriage between a man and a woman.
Right.
When you get into the court system, it becomes a little bit more sketchy.
Right.
And that's how you're able to sort of undermine the sacrament of marriage. It's really been through the courts.
Right.
That's how Roe versus Wade got
exactly.
in. And I think that, you know, I think President Obama has the votes to get in the type of justice that
he
would
does.
Like. That does not mean that the Republican Party should not put up a fight about who that justice is.
Right. Don't you think the fights bring to the forefront
the issues
that people need to be aware of? So
correct.
if they don't protest and they don't come and say, here's where we differ on this and this is why we differ, then nobody really understands that truth and nobody can get behind the truth to fight and forge forth, you know, to continue to run the good race and fight the good fight. You're listening to the What the World Needs Now, and of course I have with us Edel Finnegan. We've been just talking this past half hour about all the issues with the health care bill, certainly talking about this upcoming November will be one of the most important times to cast our votes. And please do so. The other thing is we've talked about this upcoming appointment for the Supreme Court. So well, there's a lot that we need to be to pray for. I have a picture here on my desk of President Obama, and I pray that I ask God to continue to touch his heart with his mercy and his love so he turns from death to life.
Right.
And I think we should all be doing that.
Yes.
I mean, we went through, Divine Mercy Sunday, and I know people around the world were praying that kind of a prayer, that God's divine mercy would touch President Obama's heart and turn it from dark, from the darkness to light, from death to life. And so I want all my brothers and sisters who are listening in our family audience to remember that we need to pray. If we're a believing people and we're a prayerful people and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, one of the promises is that he will turn the coldest heart to fervor. And so we do commend our president to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that he might have his heart filled with that fervor for life, recognizing and respecting the dignity of every human being, from life in the womb to the tomb, natural death to the tomb, if you will. I just want to share the reading for today. I usually share it in the beginning when we got talking, so I just want to read the gospel. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it will, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And, I couldn't help when I was going over the reading today, when he came to Nicodemus and he said, "You're the teacher and you do not understand this." Well, we have people in our government who don't understand the dignity of every human life. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it boils down to. I don't think there's some, hateful, ugly people that want to kill life in the womb. I think they're people that really don't understand the truth. And their heart is set on that lie.
That's true.
I really believe that. And that's why I think we really need to... we really need to pray. And the other part I loved about this is where he says we. And the Lord just didn't speak in the personal person. He said, these are things we have seen. These are things we know to be true. These are things we understand. And that's what his truth is to be revealed. And I think that's particularly every voter's job. We do know. We do understand. We have seen. We know the dignity of every human life. And as you said, every life is, it's created in God's likeness and image. That is the truth that will set us all free.
I think our society has become very utilitarian.
Yes.
So I think our opponents on this issue believe that, they feel like they have a scale. And so this woman's life, and by that they mean comfort, schooling, whatever her needs are more important than the needs of a child. And so it sort of becomes like this. Each of us has, I've been using this line, it's just sort of kind of a joke, but we all have needs and those needs must be met. And they must be met. We have to address but everyone has them.
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Your needs are not superior to anyone else's.
Exactly.
So the fact that, and we do this in so many ways that we don't think about, you know, we buy a cheap item, you know, made in a country, and we think nothing of it because
right.
we got a great sale, and we don't necessarily think about the fact that that item was made by someone making 3 cents an hour.
Exactly.
And you know, being treated poorly, and all of those things matter in the dignity of the human person. And that's a lot of what John Paul's papacy was about.
That's right.
And I think in with the abortion issue, it's just become so much a part in medicine and so many different aspects of our life. That's what it becomes. It's like the scale. One person has more value than another person. And we get to determine that. So a child with Down syndrome.
Right.
We can't, a mother apparently can't love. And then people buy into that themselves.
Absolutely.
Women buy into it. And there's a selfishness. That's really essentially what a lot of it is.
Right.
And with our healthcare, that's what it's going to be. Well, this guy is this age. This person is this age.
Hey, I'm approaching it. I know all about it.
Yeah, it's really frightening, but it's it isn't just age. It's what
they consider
valuable.
Value. Exactly.
And when you think about it that way, when you try to explain that to people, that's why it's so important, that Christian perspective that every life has value, and that each, you know, that we're each a temple of the Holy Ghost, that we are
right.
all made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
And God is the giver of life and he is the taker of life.
That's
and
right.
and we, you know, we're blessed to be here. I was reading something the other day about you have to remind yourself in gratitude that when you take a breath, whatever you do, your very existence
mm-hmm.
is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
Like you don't, it's we don't deserve any of it. And
that's
it's
right.
hard to remind ourselves of that
right.
because we think, oh, well, we're good people and we deserve happiness. And we really don't. God
right.
allows us to live here and he gives us what he chooses to give us.
Right. All is from God. All
and,
that is good.
Yeah. And I think, you know, President Obama, he doesn't think of himself as a bad person, but he does believe that the life of a child in a womb does not have the value of the woman who chooses her career maybe over that baby.
Exactly.
And I don't know why he thinks that. And I don't know why sort of the baby boomer generation that is so into euthanasia doesn't realize that they've taught now
their
survivors. Children.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They've taught their
yeah.
children to not respect them
life.
In old age.
Exactly right.
Which they're, so I mean, I feel bad about that. Because
exactly right.
You'd prefer to be raised by parents. It's smart for older people to raise children that respect life just for your own self-preservation.
Absolutely.
That's what I always like look at people. But I should say that we have an event coming up.
Yes.
On Wednesday, April 21st, the union tries to do these outreach events. We will meet at Planned Parenthood at 12th and Locust from 9 to 10 a.m. And we'll pray and distribute information like so many people have been involved with. And then we will move over from 10 to 11 and distribute material outside of Pennsylvania Hospital at 8th and Locust. This is the leading abortion hospital in southeastern Pennsylvania. In 2009... Oh, no, that's a different number, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yes, we will be there at Planned Parenthood and then at Pennsylvania Hospital.
And give the date again, April 21st.
April 21st. It's a Wednesday, yeah.
Okay.
So from 10 to 11 at the hospital,
right.
and then 9 to 10 at Planned Parenthood. What I was going to say, at Planned Parenthood, it was 6,000 children were killed there.
Right.
At the hospital, it was not that many, which I'm glad I did not say that.
Right.
Because
right.
it's a different
You'd have
number.
To retract it.
Right.
Well, again, we, you know what... When it comes, thinking of the gospel today and how, you know, we are absolutely created in the likeness and image of God. And every life is precious and every, in all aspects, we have, you know, my little grandson's Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would have bought into that, none of us would have experienced the tremendous joy that we
yeah.
have with Steve and John, and the he has multiplied the joys and love in our lives. And I look at Steve and John, and I see the glory of God in this baby.
Oh yeah,
I mean
just,
he only
tragic.
Knows he loves. He just
yeah,
loves
that's so
unconditionally.
True with children with Downs.
And isn't that what God does? He loves us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So each and every one of us all are endowed with that God-given image from the
right.
conception moment on. And I can't understand the other side, but yet I know enough to know that this is the truth, And we have to pray and stand firm on that truth and fight the good fight there. Do not be silenced. Go to on the 21st, if you're able to. Go down and make your voice heard. Let somebody see you present. All these different things, you know, the same as the Walk for Life, of course, in January, and all the different things. Go to make sure your vote counts. When somebody says, well, you know, I didn't really vote because what difference does it make? Well, it makes a big difference, and we're seeing that now. Mm-hmm. And for all those of you who felt that way, now's the time to say, hey, it does matter, and I'm not going to sit idly by because I could have made a difference.
Yeah.
And now that you know the difference between the two parties or the two, you know, the death and life being one issue, there's many other issues. Go online, begin to, you know, read about this healthcare bill, begin to know where should you take a stand, and how can you explain that to other people? Adele, if there's something you'd like to share with our listeners, you know me, I always like a good story.
Actually, I do have one for you. This one's great. Okay. And it's recent. That's why I was thinking about it. In October of last year, there's a family that I've worked with. So they have three adult daughters, and I'm very close to the oldest daughter. The family's sort of disconnected, but I met the oldest daughter. I had the privilege and honor of meeting her and working with her through our billboard campaign. She was expecting her sixth child. She's married. And just there was a million things wrong. And abortion was on her mind, even though she didn't want it to be.
Right.
She asked God to help her, and she found our billboard, and then she carried that child to term.
Praise God. We were
able to help her. And then she went on and had another baby after that. So she's seven boys now, and she's a fabulous, great person. And because of my contact with her, I've been in touch with her two sisters. And her one sister is really struggling and needs a lot of prayers. And she has four children. She's not married. And her last baby was destined for the abortion facility. And her sister told me, and then I ended up talking to the sister. So I was fortunate enough to be part of that, and her, I'll call her Tina, she delivered a baby, and so I was helping her, and she called me one day, and she said, I just want you to know, my younger sister, who I had never met, who's married, and is practicing Islam, is expecting twins. She's 13 weeks along, and I said, okay, and she said, she's having an abortion. And I said, well, try to get her to talk to me because there's only so much I can do.
Exactly.
And I said, you know. And then she called me 2 weeks later and she said, I just want you to know the abortion's scheduled for tomorrow morning. And it was the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. That was the day the children were meant to be killed. And I said, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I said, can I talk to her? And she's like, she won't talk to you. My mom won't talk to you. It was like this big drama thing. So God bless this one Tina, client of mine. Who's not very strong. She has a lot of issues she's facing herself, but she knew that she should be stopping her sister from doing this. And so she said, go ahead on. She put me on speakerphone.
Right.
She's very dependent on her mom for help. So this was a risk for her to do this. And I was sort of yelling at the mother of all these girls saying, you're the person that can stop this. You have no right to have this child be killed. And I said to the one girl, I said, you can't do this. I said, you know, it's wrong. Your religion teaches you wrong. And deep down inside, you know, it's wrong. And I presumed that the next morning she would have the abortion. And I didn't really tell anyone about it. I told like my best friend and somebody else. And I said, I just don't want to get everyone all upset. I'm used to this stuff happening. I don't want to, you know, everyone prays all the time. And I sort of just entrust it to God because sometimes people get really disappointed if they hear that someone had an abortion and it was twins and it was late in the day. So it's not like I really had a chance to do much other than pray. Mm-hmm. And I was at St. Dennis, actually, and I was like, there's nothing else I can do about this, God. I don't understand why I have to deal with this kind of stuff. I was really upset.
Right.
And I said, I just feel so bad. And for some reason, the twins part of it was making me physically sick.
Yeah.
And the doctor, and that's in air quotes, that was going to kill these children said, I'll give you two for one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kill two for the price of one.
Imagine.
And
it almost makes you cry.
Yeah, it's horrible. And I, the next night, her sister called me, and she said she didn't do it. She goes, I don't know what happened. I can't believe she didn't do it.
Lady.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I totally was like, I was like, Our Lady of the Rosary. And I was like, I couldn't, that was the other thing. I couldn't bear that on the morning of Our Lady of the Rosary, that this girl would kill her
two babies. Yeah.
And so she, her sister said she still, she rescheduled it though for another 2 weeks from now. So I was like, I have 2 weeks. I'm emailing my aunt in Ireland. I'm like, you got to get on this, people. We have 2 weeks. And so she continued the pregnancy.
Praise God.
She delivered the babies at the end, 2 days before Good Friday, I think.
Praise God.
She's really a lovely girl. Her husband left her. She has a lot. It's not, she didn't, she doesn't believe it's right. It was just, she's so overwhelmed. And twins is overwhelming for, you know, a happily married woman. It can be overwhelming. And so she's so lovely. And she had the two girls last week. And it's, I'll just call them May and Sue, because that's my nicknames for them. And they were born healthy and sweet. And I was holding them last week. I went and visited her. And I have this one baby on my lap and one in my arms. And I'm thinking, there's nothing really. I'm thinking, I can't believe they almost died. Like, because I don't think people comprehend it. You want to say to Barack Obama, to an Ireland Spector, do you really believe that these children didn't deserve? You want to go to the doctor that was going to kill them both?
Right.
And say, look, you didn't get a chance to do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, exactly. You don't control everything. Thank you very much. The Blessed Mother and her son are in charge.
Right.
And you can keep, you know, but you really want to, you can't imagine it in some ways, especially I think if you've held a child that was destined for the abortion facility.
Absolutely.
And it's such an amazing thing that you were even remotely part of it.
Yeah.
And you're so grateful and you're looking at this poor mother and all I could think was she would be so devastated right now. And she just kept saying to me, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful. I don't know how to thank you. Right. Thank you for stopping me. And I was like, really, honestly, it was your sister. She's Muslim too. So anyone who's listening can pray for her because I believe she's going to convert.
Praise
this is who
God.
I am.
Right. Well, that's you know me, I love those witness stories about there is hope. There is always hope.
Oh, there really is. And this one,
never
and it's so funny because people are like, oh, you know, it's what we say. And I was like, that's, we need to know the truth. We need to be able to explain the humanity of an unborn child. And we need to be able to strongly say to people, you have no right to kill a child.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the situation is. You have no right to do that.
Right.
And you have to really, it's very hard to say that to a woman because we always want to say we can give you help. And that's not what this was about.
Right.
She needs a little bit of help, but her parents are there.
Right.
You have
she
to
needed
say,
to know.
You have no right to kill a child.
Right.
And when you really stick with that and you know that,
right.
And you know there's no good will come of the death of that baby.
Exactly.
A baby's in this case. You just kind of, you're grateful and just that her sister, her one sister that really kind of stuck her neck out in the line. It's amazing how God works in people's lives. And just to be a part of it sometimes is so funny.
It
and
is.
It's so funny because you're like, it literally was nothing I said. Like, I didn't even have 5 minutes really to counsel with this girl.
Right.
I basically was like at St. Denis, like, I'm so annoyed that I'm so upset right now.
But Adele, that's the good news. It's whatever we do say will be enough.
Right.
When God moves in and does
the God's
rest.
Grace fills in for what I
what
say
we
ridiculously.
Lack. Exactly. And I've seen that so many times in my own life. And when it's all about Jesus, I trusted you. And, you know, I have a friend, Peg O'Neill. We were with her this morning. Peg, if you're listening, she always says, Our Lady, you know, always, she cannot be outdone. She has to show off. She was showing off. She was there for life on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And
that's why
grace.
I believe that they're going
Absolutely.
To convert someday. That's what I think is so funny. But the other thing about it, which was so funny, because my one friend, I told her the story, and I think I told my sister, I told a few people, and I said, just say some prayers tonight. I said, there's not that many people I can call about this. And my one friend, she said, that night when she went to bed, she took off of her, before she went to bed, she moved her pillows, and she said, I'm sleeping without pillows, and it's for the twins.
Oh,
and I was like, you know, people don't understand these little sacrifices.
Absolutely.
They have such power.
They do. I just talked about that in our prayer group Thursday night.
Yeah.
The tiniest, most, we would think was insignificant.
Right.
God will use that for a greater grace.
Right.
Because we died to ourselves.
And it was so funny because my friend said, she goes, I just remember going, oh, the twins, and throwing the pillows away and knowing, like, I have to do something because it was late. It's not like you could say, I'm going to go to 5 hours of adoration at
I'm
that point.
I'm going to fast all day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it was, you know, praise God.
Well, as you know, it's always a joy to work with you and have you in the studio.
I'm always happy to be here.
And I know Adele has to go do some generation life, and we
just
will be closing with a prayer. So I want to thank you once again for coming in. And if there's a thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, as you know, I'm always saying everybody can get involved, even if you're housebound. You can make phone calls, mm-hmm. you know. But maybe there's a message you'd like to leave with our listeners before you leave today.
Well, I will ask everyone, and if anyone is interested in this, we're trying to start an adoption prayer group, and we have some people who've joined up. And it really is just committing to praying, remembering every day to pray to St. Joseph, mm-hmm. that more of the women we work with will be open to adoption, and that those of us who counsel them will be able to present adoption in a positive way. But if you wanted to officially join the group right. and get, like, our little prayer card,
yeah.
call the office at 215-885-8150, or go to the website, which is prolifeunion.org, and you can email me.
Well, there you go. Now, what isn't that a wonderful cause? And sometimes we get involved in things a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful way to say, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to pray for these babies, that these women who have taken the alternative of adoption rather than abortion.
Right.
And so, my brothers and sisters, what a great cause. You can call, as I said, the pro-life number, 215-885-8150. Or again, you can go to the website. I'm sure.
Prolifeunion.org.
Right. And until we meet again, God willing, may God bless you abundantly to do the work that you're doing.
You too.
And may it bear much fruit, and may babies be saved
right.
from death to life every day. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we come to the end of the program. And Adele, it's just always a joy to have you in here. You not only speak the truth, but you speak it from your heart, and you're very articulate about it. So I love you, not only because you're Irish, but I love you. And all my Irish sons married Italian girls. It's a good
so
mix.
Funny.
So Dominic and I, and because of that, I want to say, Dominic and I and Joan, we share a beautiful grandchildren. Dominic Lettieri and myself. And so, Michael Connor, if you're listening, I wish you a very blessed and happy birthday. And may today you experience a true blessing that you know comes from God's lips and his heart to yours. And with that, we'll say adieu. God bless you. Now we'll come together and we're going to pray and ask the Lord today to fill all of us with a deep love and respect for life, a deep love and respect for the dignity of every person. And Father God, we ask today that for all of our family of listeners, that somewhere that they can truly realize in their own minds, their own hearts, their own spirits, that they can make a difference in the world. Jesus has called you by name, and he has called you by name in such a way that he has a perfect plan for each one of you. He has a perfect plan for me and a perfect plan for you. And he calls us to step out and make a difference in the world. And so for all of you who are suffering, whether it be in mind, with fears or anxieties or doubts, whether you're anxious, whether you're angry or resentful, we have a gift in our Holy Catholic Church, the sacramental life of the Church. And if you've been away from the sacraments, this is a time to come and experience that great power of the risen Lord, to receive healing and grace upon grace, to be washed and renewed and strengthened for the journey we call life. My brothers and sisters, I want to praise and thank God for each of you. God's grace has worked so powerfully through you. You have made a statement to me. And so I praise and thank God for your love and your generosity. I thank God for all the people that God has put into my life. And Lord Jesus, I pray today that you, who are the greatest wounded healer, I pray, Lord, that you might allow each one of us to pick up our cross and follow you, because as we embrace the cross in our lives, whether it's sickness or mentally, physically, or emotionally, spiritually, when we embrace the cross, we receive that power, that fire, that healing love of Jesus Christ. And then we too can go out and renew the face of the earth. God has called you by name. Yes, you. You can make a difference. You are called to be his presence in the world. Will you go? And will you be his voice, his hands, his feet, his love, his mercy? My brothers and sisters, remember, you're never alone. He who is in you is far greater than he who is in the world. And remember, he said, I come that you might have peace, a peace that the world can't rob you of. And that's because it's his peace that he gives to us. God bless you.